So in this, the issue number 5, Adli ibn Hatim said, we do not worship him. We do not worship the priest and rabbi. That's what he knew at that time. But now the Christians, they worship the priest and rabbi. They call upon them and they ask for their help and assistance. And they consider that to be some of the best deeds that they do. Also, we find some of the Muslims, they do similar practices. They worship the grave, and they worship righteous people who were righteous during their time. But after they have died, they build for them a big grave and make a big tomb and shrine and worship them, literally worshipping them. And that shows how people are very much aloof from the true tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. And that will make us go to alaihi wasallam to the... Then we're going to move on to the next chapter, and which is very much connected with the chapter before that. And that is the chapter of seeking judgment from those who do not judge by according to Allah. And if you realize in your book, this title was put into parentheses. That means this title is not from Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, but this is from the tafarruq of the translator. But this title that I've said is appropriate to the subject, which is seeking judgment from those who do not judge according to Allah's law. What is the classification of those people? Also, they could be disbelieved, or they could be volumes, or they could be fatihun, depending on the motive for which they are doing that. So now we have the full picture in your mind. That it goes like this. People may fall into disbelief due to one, legislating laws; due to not ruling with or not governing with the rules of Allah; three, obeying those who legislate laws and making halal things into haram and haram things into halal; D, seeking judgment from those who do not rule by the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of that, a man and a woman who are married in the United States, Islamic marriage, and they want to have divorce. The woman knows if she goes to the laws of this country, they're going to give her half of what he has. So she goes to seek judgment from those who do not rule by the rule of Allah. And she is doing that for the purpose of the money, and knowing that the rules of Allah are better than this ruling, she is a zalima. But if she thinks this rule is better than the rule of Allah, she is a disbeliever. Therefore it says in this ayat, in Surah Al-Nisa, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تعالوا إلى ما أنزل الله وإلى الرسول رأيت المنافقين يصدون عنك صدودا فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا. أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم فأعرض عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. In those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you seen, did you find out about those people who claim that they believe in what has been sent to you, sent down with you, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. And they believe in that which has been revealed before you. Yet they want to seek ruling from Al-Tawud. And they were commanded to disbelieve in Al-Tawud. And Al-Shaytan wants to misguide them to great lengths. And if it was said to them, come to the revelation of Allah and come to the Prophet, you're going to see the hypocrite averting from you. So what will they say if a musibah befall them because of what they have been doing? And they were going to come to you and say to you, oh, we only wanted to bring goodness and only want to reach you to me. Those are the ones who Allah knows what is inside of their heart. Therefore, give them advice and tell them harsh statements about their self. Those are the ayat, inshaAllah. We stop at this point to make the adhan and we continue after that. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. So from those ayat we know those who claim in their own tongues that they believe in the revelation that was given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believe in the revelation that came before that. They say that in their own tongues. They are making the claim. Yet their actions defy this claim, because they want to seek judgment from Al-Tawud. Al-Tawud is any authority that causes people intentionally to go beyond their limits. So they're trying to seek judgment from Al-Tawud, yet they were given the order to disbelieve in Al-Tawud. And then it says, and Al-Shaytan wants to lead them to great lengths. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says first, they want to seek judgment from Al-Tawud, and then it says Al-Shaytan wants to lead them to great lengths. As in Al-Tawud is Al-Shaytan. And this Shaytan could be the Shaytan of Al-Inn or the Shaytan of Al-Jinn. Because shayateen comes from al-ins and comes from the jinn. And those people, if it was said to them, come to the revelation, come to the rules of Allah, you're going to see those hypocrites, they are averting from coming to that. Hypocrisy could be hypocrisy in creed or hypocrisy in practices. Hypocrisy in creed, when a person is concealing disbelief and showing off belief. And hypocrisy in the practice, when a person, he is a believer, yet he practices things that make him fall into the category of hypocrisy. An example of that is he promises, he does not keep up his promises. When he speaks, he lies. And if he was entrusted with something, he does not preserve the trust. So those people who are not coming to the revelation, they are hypocrites. They could be hypocrites in creed, they could be hypocrites in practices, depending on the tafsir, or depending on the details that we have given you before which will make them fall into disbelief or into the category of al-zalimin or the category of al-fatiqin. And then it says, and if those people, what will they do if a calamity befalls them because of their bad deeds? Then they're going to come to you and swear by Allah, they only want to make things good. And this is always what the fatiqin do. You tell them, ya akhi, why don't you do that? They want to, you know, make it good, want to serve the community. We're opening this joint here to serve the community, makes money come into the community. Instead of importing liquor from outside, why don't we put a liquor factory here and employ those people? People think like that, because they are hypocrites. And when the calamity befalls them, they say, we only want to do good, you know. They never show their true color because they are hypocrites. And then the ayat says, those type of people, Allah knows what's inside of their heart. Allah knows whether they are outside Islam, inside Islam. Allah knows what's inside of their heart. But tell them some harsh statements and turn away from them. That's how you deal with those hypocrites. So not only Islam teaching us to be soft and lenient, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Muhammad, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we send you as a mercy to the humanity, to everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Muhammad, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, due to the mercy of Allah, Allah made you soft to them. Yet when it comes to dealing with those hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, tell them harsh statements and turn away from them. Just go. Don't waste your time with them. Tell them harsh statements and then turn away from them. So this is something that we have to understand. It's very important. Islam does not always teach us to deal with things with softness and leniency. But also Islam teaching us sometimes to use strictness. And the wise person is the one who knows when to use strictness and when to use softness. And the second ayah that was brought in this chapter, in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مصلحين. If مصلحون. If it was said to them, to the disbelievers, do not bring corruption to the earth, they say, no, we are only reformers and bringers of good, which they are lying. They cannot bring good if they are not conforming to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be bringing evil. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the next ayah, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَادْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Do not corrupt the earth after it has been set in order and after it's been restored. What is that connected to the chapter of seeking judgment with other than the rules of other seeking judgment from those who do not rule by the rule of Allah? It means when the people do that, they are bringing corruption to the earth. Because when those people are ruling by other than the rules of Allah is one thing, but they were going, when they are finding supporters and those who are coming to them and seeking from them judgment, that will give them strength and power. And the most type of corruption that will be brought to earth is to rule with other than the rules of Allah. Because this earth was restored and made into good condition by ruling with the revelation. Every goodness on this universe is due to the prophetic knowledge and due to the revelation. And every evil on this earth is due to staying away from the revelation and staying away from the prophetic education. So the most type of corruption and evil and causes of mischief will occur when people do not conform to the teaching. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, do not bring corruption to the earth after it has been set in order. And then the second ayah, it says, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. We have discussed this ayah before. Are they seeking the judgment that is based on the Jahiliyyah, the days of Jahiliyyah? Verily, who is better judge than Allah for those who have certainty? But those who do not have certainty, it might appear to them the ruling of al-Jahiliyyah is better than the ruling of Allah. And al-Jahiliyyah is not only the time where before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jahiliyyah is relative. Some people now are living in Jahiliyyah because they are not living in the light of al-Islam. Everyone who is not living in the light of al-Islam is living in Jahiliyyah. And everyone who is living in al-Islam yet allowing Jahiliyyah to govern some aspect of his life, he has Jahiliyyah in his life even though he is living in al-Islam. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of his companions, when he was reprimanding him, he said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. You are a person and you remain jahiliyyah. And every one of us might have some remaining of al-jahiliyyah. Therefore it is our responsibility to extract this jahiliyyah from within ourselves. And when we do that, by teaching ourselves what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. I gave you two options. We can stop now and pray Isha and continue the lesson after Isha. Or we can go on and finish the lesson in about 15 minutes. Which one would you rather? Go ahead. Inshallah. So we have to, having said all of that, we have to make sure for us to establish Tawheed, first to rule by the Book of Allah. In our life, and in our family, in our households, in our businesses. Secondly, we should not legislate any rules that will oppose the rules of Allah. Thirdly, we must obey not anyone who legislates things that oppose the rules of Allah. And last and not least, we must not seek judgment on issues from those who do not rule by the rule of Allah. And that is related to a lot of things. A person might have a certain problem and he goes to another individual and he knows this individual does not know anything about the Quran and the Sunnah and ask him his opinion and ruling concerning this issue. How can this person give you the Islamic ruling if he does not know the rule of Islam? Then it says, there's a hadith in here لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you will truly believe until his whim will be in accordance to the revelation that I came with. This hadith, as far as its chain of narration, is not sandy. But the meaning of this hadith is authentic, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who is afraid from the time when he was going to stand before his Lord, thus he refrained himself from following its desire, for this person, paradise is his abode, his residence. What is left from this chapter? Can you read what Sha'bi said?
Sha'bi said there was a dispute between a Jew and a Munafiq. The Jew said, let us seek a judgment from Muhammad, for he knew that he does not take lives. The hypocrite said, let us get a judgment from the Jews, because he knew they accepted bribes. So both of them agreed to take their case to the soothsayer in Jahannam. It was on this occasion the verse, "Have you seen those who claim," was revealed.
This account is narrated by Al-Shu'bi, and the Shu'bi is one of the Tabi'een. And when the Shu'bi says something happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means this statement is disconnected, mursal, because the tabi'i is no contact with what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we leave it to that, and we say to the second account that is given at the end of this chapter. Go on.
Some say there was a dispute between two men. One of them said, let us take the dispute to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his judgment. The other said, take it to Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf. Thereafter, both of them came to Umar radiallahu anhu. One of them told him the story, so he asked the other, he was content to take his case to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is so, as the other said. He said, yes. And Umar radiallahu anhu struck him with his sword and killed him.
But also this account was given in an expression that signifies its weakness, because it says in the beginning some say. So we're gonna leave it without any explanation, and we finish this chapter and we finish this topic that we have been dealing with, that when we are studying Tawheed, we study issues that and practices of people do will fall into this belief, such as fasting to other than Allah, praying to other than Allah, making nazar to other than Allah. But falling into this belief is not limited to that. Also, people can fall into this belief if they rule and govern based on not their ruling of faith, based on not their revelation. And people might fall into this belief by legislating laws, or by accepting the legislation of those who legislate laws, or by seeking judgment from those who do not rule by the revelation. Having said that, we stop at this point, inshaAllah, and if you have any question, we answer them. And we conclude this session. Yes.
In the part when you're talking about no one has the authority to oppose the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not up to them. Do you oppose to a statement with the imam that you're following? What did you, what do these people call specifically the topic of the problem?
They might be not able into that in any of those things, but they might be being bigot to the statement of a certain person. It has been explained exactly what you have been asking, what you were asking, that if you follow the ruling of those who make things halal into haram or haram into halal, based on the motive of that, this person might fall into disbelief or fall into the category of transgression or fall into the category of being a fasik, a depraved. You understand?
No.
If there is no more question, we conclude this session, inshaAllah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In continuation with our discussion, we're going, inshallah, to go into the reading of the two ayat that comes in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we only send each messenger to be obeyed by the permission of Allah. And if the people transgress against their own selves, if they came to the Prophet and they seek forgiveness from Allah, and they ask the Prophet to ask Allah to forgive them, they're going to find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance. And then the ayah it went on and says, and this is a very important ayah, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by his lordship to Muhammad. He said, by your lord, and this is a very important oath, by the lordship of Allah to Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore, they're not going to believe until they make you the judge over the affair of everything that goes on amongst them, of every dispute that comes about and comes in between them. They have to make you the judge in that. And that refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive, and to his sunnah, and to his religion after his death. So wherever we have dispute amongst us, arguments, this will be a time where we have to demonstrate our faith, that we're not going to be faithful until we make the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the criterion by which we judge and we resolve our differences and our disputes. And after that, not only making the sunnah is the criterion by which we judge, but we shall not have any difficulties or any problems in accepting the rules and the sunnah. Because some people, they have difficulties and they have problems in accepting what is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by himself and by his lordship to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, they're not going to believe. Allah negated that those people of being amongst the faithful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated
those people from being among the faithful. And this negation might refer to negating that they are complete and true believers, or it might refer to them being outside of belief altogether. And depending on the motive for which people do not refer to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, depending on that motive, the negation might be to the totality of their iman or to the perfection and the authenticity of their iman. So if they do not refer to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam based on trying to get transgress against each other, or in following their whims and temptations and desires, the negation refers to the goodness and to the authenticity of their iman. And if they do not refer to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and presently to his sunnah, because they think it's not applicable to us nowadays, it's not befitting us, it's no good anymore, the negation refers to them being outside the fold of Islam, taking into consideration the criterion that we always repeat: they have to be delivered free from ignorance, and all misunderstanding must be clarified for them. So this is an important issue, and it suffices to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by His that and by His rububiyyah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I wanted to elaborate on this issue because of great importance. وَهَذَا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَعْدَ